And we're here. 3:13. The Gospel according to Mark. Kata Markon. Kata Markon. What does Mark mean? Remember what Mark means? John Mark? What's John Mark mean? Remember? John Mark? What? Okay. Mark means dried out. And that, what language is that, Cindy?
Latin.
Okay, what does John mean?
Dove.
So it's a dried out dove. So that's basically, just remember that, okay? That'll help you remember this thing. And Mark wrote his gospel through whose eyes? Peter's eyes. And tell me a little bit about the Gospel of Mark, Brother Roger. What do we have here? Is the Gospel of Mark one of the synoptics? Synoptics means
no.
What? What?
No.
Yes, it is. Cindy. Is the Gospel of Mark one of the synoptics? Can you name the three synoptics?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Why are they synoptics, Sharon?
Because they really are paralleled.
They're parallel. They tell about the life of Jesus. Okay, what gospel is not one of the synoptics?
The other one, John.
Oh, the other one. That's John. What does John show you? What does John emphasize in his gospel?
The deity of Christ.
That he is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. It starts right off that way, doesn't it? John 1:1, John 1:14, 1:18. Without looking at that, how about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? The same story in it. What was he fighting? What was John fighting?
The Gnostics.
The Gnosticism. What are the modern day Gnostics?
Jehovah Witnesses.
Jehovah Witnesses. They're Jehovah Witnesses. That's what the modern day Gnostics are. They're Jehovah Witnesses. All right, now here we have in the Gospel of Mark, Evangelina. What do we have in it? What kind of a gospel do we have with Mark? Do you remember? Brother Russ? Sharon?
It's more of the Reader's Digest.
Extremely abbreviated, because people read the Gospel of Mark and they say, he left all this out. He left it all out. Well, he did, but it's the very important points is what he puts in there. And that's it. He just said he did this. Matthew tells you all about it, and Luke tells you more about it. Matthew looks at Jesus as what? Remember, Cindy?
King.
As the King of Israel, as the Jewish King of Israel. How about Luke? Brother Roger. How does Luke look at Jesus?
Like he's doing an autopsy.
Like he's doing an autopsy. He uses the word autopsy, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Autopsy means to see for yourself. Auto optics. To see for yourself. And he shows us Jesus was really a human being. He was God, but he was human. Okay? He was God, but he was man also. And so his Mark's gospel is what? What is he emphasizing? Remember. We got Matthew, we got Luke. What is Mark emphasizing? What?
A good message.
A good message. Pamela, that wasn't quite good enough. Come on, Pamela. What is Mark trying to say? Remember the four flags that flew in the four directions around the tabernacle. Which one represented the gospel of Mark? Which flag? You remember? The calf. And a calf is a voker in Hebrew. And what does voker mean in Hebrew, Cindy?
Voker?
Uh-huh.
Like to break.
To break.
Like today or
so it is a animal that is a beast of burden, a one that plows and breaks ground. Okay, that's what a voker is.
Servant.
What?
Suffering servant.
The suffering servant. That is who our Christ is, the suffering servant. That's how Mark looks at that. So now we got all this straightened out. So now we know how we're going to look at Jesus. How does Mark look at him? The servant, the son of man. Kai. Anabine.
eis to oros kai proskalete ous. That's hous there. It's a H. Hous. Ethelene, that is. Autos kai apelthon pros auton. And he ascended up unto the oros. 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 What's oros? Cindy?
Mountain.
Up into the mountain. And if you go, have you been to Israel? If you've been that, have you been there where they said what the mountain was and all that business? There's three or four different ideas about this. But he went up on the mountain. Now, is the church in existence yet? Is the church? When did the church begin?
Galilee.
At Galilee, when he called it out. Now is the church in existence? Yes, the church is in existence. We're in the third chapter, verse 13 of the Gospel of Mark. Now he goes up in the mountain and he's going to put the first gift in the church. Where he's going to place the first gift in the church, according to 1 Corinthians. Okay? Up onto the mountain, and he calls proskalete. Now this is third person singular, present indicative middle voice. Third person singular. So who's third person singular, Cindy?
He.
All right. Third person singular, and then it's present tense, indicative mode, and middle voice. Okay, tell me about present tense.
Right now.
Indicative mode.
A fact.
And middle voice. He did it for himself. He did this because he wanted to. Who placed the first gift in the church? Jesus did. Paul tells us that. I got ahead of myself. Jesus placed the first gift in the church, and Paul tells us all about it later on in 1 Corinthians. He calls to himself, toward himself, ones, accusative plural masculine. It comes from host, by the way, that word does. Who's there? And he calls these ones. And then who? See that word autos there? Now you have to put that in there, but it's in this verse, ethelene also. Now that word comes from thelo. Thelo. And what does thelo mean? Cindy, you remember? It's like thelematos. What does this mean there, Brother Roger? Sharon, you got that one? Spiritual activating force. Spiritual activating force. That's where we get the word thelematos. That's in the first chapter of the Gospel of, not the Gospel of, but the Book of Ephesians. Even though it's not really the Book of Ephesians, it's a circular universal letter. He said, according to the spiritual activating force of God, he called us. And right here, as he's wishing, and this is what he's wishing from the depths of his soul, so to speak. Third person singular, imperfect indicative active. He keeps on wishing. Okay? He and they departed. Apelthane. That comes from apo and elthon. They went. Third person plural, second aorist indicative active. And they went toward him. Pros auton, toward him. Look at the word autos up there, Cindy, a little bit earlier up there in that verse. Autos, omicron, sigma, in the end of it. What does omicron, sigma mean? What case is that in? Omicron, sigma. That's nominative, singular, masculine, isn't it? And this is the third person pronoun, autos. Now look down here at the bottom, auton. What about this one, Cindy?
It's going to him, so it's accusative.
Accusative case, all right. Accusative case. And how many cases do we have in Greek? Eight. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Accusative. So we have the nominative here, we have a third person pronoun in the nominative, and we got one in the accusative in this verse. 14. Now he's choosing 12 people. He's going to. Kai. Apoiason. Dadoke. Dadoke, that is. And then we have a little thing in parenthesis here, but let's go ahead and read it anyway. Hus. Kai. Apostos. Apostolus. Ono Masin. Hina. Usen. Met. Auto. Kai. Hina. Apostela. Apostele. Autos. Kurusain. Let's look at this now. And third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. What's that? Epoi asin, Cindy.
Well, it's he.
It's he. He did something. Poie. Remember what poie? What English word do we have from this poie word in Greek? You remember? Any of you? Poem. Poem. What do you do in a poem? Evangeline, you know what you do with a poem? You make it rhyme. You make it rhyme. You make words rhyme, don't you? You make words rhyme. The mule stood on the burning deck. The land he would not tread. They drew a halter around his neck and cracked him over the head. That's what my Uncle Bill Runch wrote and got him in a lot. He borrowed some of that. And anyway, it got him in trouble. They gave him a whooping in school over that. That's a poem, though. It rhymed. Very, very crude. Okay. And he prepared, or he made, or he appointed. Duodeca. Duodeca. Dodeca. Comes from duo, which means what? Two. And what does deca mean?
Ten.
Two ten. 12. Whom? Now, we have this explanation. We have to realize that Mark didn't write this half of this verse. It's not there, but it's an explanation because he left it out. He just took you for granted that you knew what he was doing. So someone wrote this in there, and let's see what they said. Whom? Ones whom? And from sent apostles. All right? That's accusative plural masculine. By the way, apostolos is a second declension word. I know I haven't told you much about that, but it's a second declension word. And it comes from apo and stelo. And what does apostello mean, Cindy? What kind of sending out is this? What is this? You remember? Brother Roger?
What's the authority of
King? One sent with divine or very high authority, either by a prince or a king, or now here by God himself. He sent with great authority, and then he said, Ona Masin. That third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. And he named. He sent out and he named. Okay, these are named. Hina, in order that they may be. Look at that. Usen. How about this word usen here, Cindy? What's that funny looking thing on the end of it? That nu. That's a movable nu. That means it can be there or not can be there. Okay? And then we have meta. A met. It actually is meta. But what do we have on the end of that? A movable alpha. And why do we get rid of it? Why do we swallow it? For a good sound. Euphony. That they may be with him. And in order that, look at this word, apostele. And look at this. Did all the 12 apostles do what they're supposed to do? Did all the 12 apostles do what they were supposed to do?
No.
Okay, who didn't?
Judas.
Did God foreordain and predestine and elect Judas to do what he did? Yes. But he was voluntary. God foreknew what he would do. And he used him to do that. And he did, didn't he? You didn't get that one, did you, Evangelina?
Yeah, I just kind of
Okay, let's go back.
The
foreknowledge of God in Romans 8, 27 through 30. Let's look at that real quick. Let's look at that. Who's got that? 8, 27 through 30. Cindy, do you have that? 8, 27 through 30. You got it memorized? Oh, no. You don't have that memorized? Whom he foreknew, who he also called. Okay. 8:27 through 30. Evangelina, do you have that? You don't have it. Is that the Amplified Bible? Do you have it, Cindy? Now? Okay, come up here. We'll get you up here. Romans 8:28 through 30. Let's see about election here just a little bit. 8:27 through 30.
And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was
aware.
There
we go. For those whom he foreknew. Okay, go ahead.
Are you done?
Go ahead.
Just kidding. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren.
Thank you very much.
I have one more verse.
Okay.
Do you want me to read that one too?
Okay. Go ahead and read that one too.
And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being.
You got that?
I did get that.
That's real good, isn't it? Now, did he foreordain Judas to do what he did? Yes. But did he foreordain Judas without will?
No.
Why? Can you prove that to me? How do we know that Judas did it on his own will? It's in this book right here. It's here. What's it say here? All right, warned him. And he sent them and he named them with him, and in order that, apostele. Tell me about that, Sharon. Apostele.
Third person singular.
Subjunctive. Indicative active. Subjunctive mode tells us what, Cindy? It's like cohortive and jussive in Hebrew, isn't it, Brother Roger?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Will, volition.
Did he have volition? Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. It tells you that? You know, the Greek straightens out a lot of problems in theology sometimes. Them, and then kerusane. The epsilon iota nu on the end of that. What does that tell us there, Brother Roger? I didn't write it down here. See, I'm making you think now. You can write it down now. But I didn't write it down now. How about it, Cindy? Oh, that ain on the end of that. Let's say present indicative active. O, ace, a. Omen, edi, usi, ain. What is this? Ain is the infinitive, isn't it? All right. First person singular, second person singular, third person singular, first person plural, second person plural, third person plural. And then the infinitive. That's ain. Okay, so this is to preach. That's what we do. Preach, 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 preach. To preach, to preach, to preach. Did the rest of them preach besides Judas?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, we know historically that most of them got killed because they were preaching. 3:15. Kai Akain. Exousion. Ekbalain. Ta Daimonia. Now let's look at this. It's pretty cool here too, Cindy. Cool. Okay. Kai Akain. Conjugate that verb, would you, for me? Ekein. It comes from echo. Echoes, echo, ekes, eke, ekomen, ekeri, ekusi, eke.
Well, ek means out, doesn't it?
That's right. It means I have. Here, it's echo. Normally, it means out of. Ek means out of. But here, we've got this. All right? And that means I have. Just the spelling is different. I have. And here we have, not first person singular, I have, not second person singular, you have, not second person singular, he has, or she has, or it has, not first person plural, we have, not second person plural, what? Ye have, not third person plural, they have, but infinitive, which means to have. Okay? To have, exousion. Now I know you remember this one, Cindy. Yep. Exousion. Tell me what that means.
Godly authority?
Uh-huh. All right. Sharon. Sharon.
Well, it's authority there is.
What does it mean? It has an ek in it, doesn't it? Which means out of. All right. Exousion. Come on. How about Brother Roger? Exousion. I know you know this one. What does exousion mean, Marilyn?
Authority.
What?
Authority.
Authority, all right. But what kind of authority, Cindy?
The ultimate
unlimited authority. Well, unlimited. No limits. Ek-usi. Out of it. No limits. Beyond limits. Okay, that's what exousion means. No limits. Unlimited authority. Ek-balein. Now, this is real simple Greek grammar, isn't it? Brother Roger, ekbalein, tell me about this one. Present infinitive active. See, we have all these infinitives here. Lots of infinitives. And that means to cast out, to throw out. It comes from ek and balo. All right? Ek and balo. If you want to write down there below that, ek and balo. All right? Ek and balo. To throw out. Now, what do demons like to do, Brother Russ? Do you remember?
They like to get in.
They like to get in what?
To the person, to the mind.
Okay. What do they like to dwell in?
Person.
Human or animal flesh. Human or animal flesh. They like to dwell in human or animal flesh. And demons are?
Territorial.
Okay. Now, in different areas, demons are very territorial. If you go down into South America, if you go down in Africa in some place, you'll find a lot of demonic activity. China. In Africa, in China, the South Pacific, South America, why do we have such strong demonic activity? Basically, they have rejected Christianity. And when you reject Christianity, you are in lots of trouble. Because Satan will send his little helpers, the demons. What does demon mean?
Little gods.
Little gods. Little supernatural beings. He will send them into people like Charles Taze Russell. To confuse people. Like the Reverend Moon. Okay? Like Jim Jones. Like what else? Charles Taze Russell. Mary Ellen White. All of these in every shade of heresy that you can think of. Some way off. What's wrong with Jehovah's Witness theology? They believe in the Bible, don't they? They do away with the actual Jehovah that they say they're worshiping. They do away with him. They do away with Jesus, which is God, Jehovah. The one who shall become. John 1:1, 1:14, 1:18. You can't get around that. John wrote that for that purpose, didn't he? If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you better get rid of that book.
Amen.
First, second, third John in the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John and Colossians. Colossians, you know, is like a repeat of John's Gospel. Did you realize that? Colossians is a repeat of John's Gospel. He just writes it. In whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead? In whom all things are held together? Now let's look at it. To have unlimited authority to cast out the demons. Sa'er. Sa'er is the Hebrew word, sa'er. What does sa'er mean, Brother Roger? Sa'er. You remember that?
Well, doesn't it have prince in it?
It means a dominion or a kingdom.
Okay.
It does come from that. But it also means a hairy goat.
Oh, okay.
Now, let's look back. According to the book of Enoch and Genesis, the sixth chapter, did angels ever cross up with humankind, women? According to the book of Enoch, we don't hear this, but did they cross up with animals? And you have seen some of these Roman and Greek gods that were half goat. That's what we're talking about right here. Half goat and half man. And bulls and man. These are gods, aren't they? These are gods that they worshipped. Now, what caused people to worship these things? Demonic activity. Demon activity. Now, Jesus is in the land of Israel. He calls his 12 unto him, and he's going to send them out to undo what had been done by Satan. Jesus said in one of his parables, the parable of the strong man, remember that? How does a man overcome a strong king? He goes in his kingdom and divides it and meets him on his ground, and you whoop him right that way, don't you? So what did Jesus do to Satan? Who is the god of this age? The devil is, isn't he? So he came in and he did what? He showed that he had power over all of his powerful princes. Sayer. His princes. These are princes of darkness. Princes of darkness. That's the title of the message tonight. Princes of darkness. Princes of darkness. These princes of darkness are at work today, aren't they?
Amen.
I saw some of them working yesterday as I came down Highway 395. Some people were so doped up and drugged up and everything that they hardly know how to go on, and that's why these cars were all scattered over, many of them. I was going down there 35 miles an hour on about 3 or 4 inches of ice. And this guy, I was doing 35, and this guy passed me. Woof! 70 miles an hour, so just flying low on this four-wheel drive vehicle with these big tires on it. I came down there 30 or 40 miles later, and over there on the left-hand side out in the Meridian was a big four-wheel drive truck upside down. Sometimes when I used to live there 30 and 40 years ago, the skiers would come up there, and I'm not saying skiers are bad people, but these people, some of these skiers give the good skiers bad names. I knew some good ones because they lived up there, they came up there, and they were instructors and everything at Mammoth. And you go into a gas station and they get out of the cars and they're so doped up they can hardly stand up to put gasoline in the car. And yet they're aiming those things down the road. Now, alcoholism and drug addiction is what?
Demonic.
Is it? How do these things hold you? How hard is it to quit drinking? If you're an alcoholic, how hard is it to quit drinking? Not easy, is it? How hard is it to quit drugs? Not easy, is it? Why? It's not so much the drugs, is the power behind the drugs. They're inanimate objects, but they have power. Why do they have power? Does an idol of Buddha have power? Does an idol of Buddha have power?
No.
Yes.
Well, only if.
Don't ever think that it doesn't.
Only if it's empowered.
It's empowered.
But, I mean, if you just go and you buy one off the shelf, you don't necessarily know that it's, you know, it's kind of like, okay, it's kind of like this. If you, like me and you, you like read a lot. Mm-hmm. And so you get stuff like the Book of Mormon.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff. Okay, so you have those things in your house.
Mm-hmm. demonic writings.
Right. Are they demonic in our house, or are they demonic, but we ignore it or we can overcome it because we don't look at it that way? That's what I'm saying about, like, the idol of Buddha is not necessarily demonic. It depends.
Those that worship him, what draws them
yeah.
to him, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
In the temples of Buddha.
If you just stick a Buddha idol right there, to me that's nothing. I mean, it's not going to do anything.
Because it's not going to affect you anyway.
Exactly.
But what about somebody who was a Buddhist came in here? What
yeah.
would he, the same idol.
Now it's something totally different.
Now they would touch it. They'd want power from it. They want protection from it, wouldn't they? Because they see this. This is of their great apostle. We see this and that. Yes, they do have power in them. You go down and you cut one out, or carve one out of stone, just like that. You see it. You have it in a book. You have these Book of Mormon, all of the Jehovah's Witness writings, the doctrines in there are demonic. Okay? Just because you have them on your shelf, but they take from your shelf and put it in somebody else's hand, it's poison.
Right.
So is it, do those books still have power in them? Yes, they do. Do Buddha's images have power in them to those that bow down to them? Yes. Influence.
Because they give it that power.
That's right.
Because
but it's there.
Like, it's just like if you see the cross, there's a certain reverence toward it that we have. Whereas if they see their God, an image of their God, they give that image power. We don't give the cross power. We just it's used as a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, that they're worshiping.
That's right. That's right. We see this, the power. These idols that the Catholics make, you know, the little things of Joseph and Christopher and Mary and Jesus and all this stuff. Do they have power to them?
They worship them.
Yeah, they worship them. They worship them. So does their drawing power there? When they go in and they go through the stations of the cross, all the stations of the cross, am I telling the truth there, young lady? Do those things draw you and have power to you? Do they throw you in reverence to that object?
Well,
yes, they do.
Yeah,
that's right. They did. Now you don't look at it that way, do you?
No,
you don't look at it. You don't look at it the same now. But did they have power? Yeah. Do they have power? How many demons are there? 1/3 of all the spiritual forces in the whole universe are bad. We know that. 1/3 of all the angels went bad. Angels went bad. Okay? Are there plenty enough to go around? Are they floating around us all the time? Can they see that Buddhist image and they look at you and it doesn't affect you, but does it have power when one of their adherents walks by? There's a book in my library of the Book of Mormon, the dictionary to the Book of Mormon, when a Mormon walks in there and they say, "Wow! Jehovah's Witness, I need that book." Or that old Book of Mormon or whatever, you know, does it have drawing power to them? Yes, because demons, now it's activated. That power is activated. All right. Hairy goat, Seir. The Hebrew word is Ruah Seir. Ruah Seir. Spirit of demons. Demonic spirits. Ruah means wind. Something you can't really see. You can see what it does, but you can't see it. Jesus used that in the 3rd chapter, didn't he? Does wind have power? Lots of it. We were sitting up there, and when we were in Fish Lake Valley and talking about the roads and everything else and what was going to happen up there, they wouldn't send workers anywhere. Nobody was going anyplace. Nothing. When they had all these wrecks, they didn't touch the cars. They just got the people out of there and left them where they lay. With all their objects of value in them, they just walked off and left them there. Because they couldn't hold up traffic. It would be more wrecks if they tried to rescue the vehicles. So they just left them set until after the storm. They said they were going to get up to 12 inches of rain. And winds were going to be up to how many miles an hour, Marilyn?
Certain places 85 to 100 miles an hour.
85 to 120 miles an hour.
when wind is going 85 to 120 miles an hour, does it do damage?
Yeah.
All right. It does lots of damage. You go out there and look at my place when it was under sand, feet of sand, moving real estate. It does a lot of damage. So spirits evil, spirits demonic. The word diabolos means what? Diabolos means what?
Devil.
What?
Devil.
What does it literally mean, diabolos, Cindy? Diabolos. 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 Diabolo. What's it mean, Brother Roger?
God. Out.
It means what?
Out.
It means to... You've shot guns and weapons in your life, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what they can do?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they do? They destroy. Even pieces of paper. They destroy. These are powerful weapons. Okay. Diabolos. Diabolos means like a projectile, a spearing one, a killer, a murderer. Okay. Diabolos, that's what it means. Daimonia means to have supernatural powers. Matthew 9:32 and 12:22, Mark 5:15, Matthew 15:22. And James 3:15 talks about the different powers of demons. And there's a whole lot more. You go out in the Old Testament, I mean, it's full of it. And the New Testament's full of the demon power. Demons. Demons. Are demons territorial? Yes. They like certain areas and they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. 3:16 now. 3:16. And the first part of this verse also is... not there. See the parenthesis? So somebody wrote this in the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel is even shorter than we think it is. Okay? It's short and brief, but it's even shorter and briefer than in the original form. Kai, apoiason, tous didoka. Now that is put in parenthesis there because it wasn't in the original. What actually it starts is kai, epithaking, onoma, to Simona Petron. And so what it says here, and he prepared the 12. It simply said over there that he sent them out with power to do something. And then we have it repeated over here because whoever copied this manuscript one time said, well, this is not enough. Let's write down that he prepared the 12. Tous duodeca. Tous is in what case, Cindy?
Accusative
plural masculine. The 12. And now let's start with the real verse. And he placed upon epi and histomy is what that comes from. Third person singular, first aorist indicative act. He placed upon. He laid upon. Onoma. What's onoma mean? Do you remember what that word means there? Evangelina, you remember that word at all? Onoma? What about it, Cindy? It's a name, all right, but what does this name mean, onoma? What does it mean, Brother Roger, you remember? It means authority and legality. He placed upon them a name that they were to be called by legally. You have a name? Russ, you ever sign a contract?
Yes, sir.
You ever sign a check?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's that? What you put on that check?
My name.
X?
Russell Coker.
All right, that's it. That's your legal name, isn't it?
My brand.
All right, that's your brand. If you wrote an X there, it would still represent who you are, wouldn't it? And people would be witnesses to it. I know some of my family, they just could write X's. And some people had to do that. A whole lot of my Indian family, they didn't write English. They wrote X's on treaties and everything, and then somebody wrote their name beside that. And then they had to swear to it that they had signed that with their X. And that X has as much authority as their name does it not? Okay, this word is a name to the Simoni Petron. Simoni. What Hebrew word did that come from, Brother Roger?
Simon.
What does Simon mean? Come on, you're a Hebrew scholar. Let's spit it out now. Simon means what? One who...
who hears. That's right. One who hears. One who hears. One who hears and one who obeys. When you hear, Jesus said, hear and obey, didn't you not? And then we have the word patron. Patron. Now, that what is what is the Aramaic word for patron?
Cephas.
Cephas, which means what? A little stone. A little stone. Petros. Patron means a little stone. What does petra mean? Marilyn, petra. Remember what that one means?
A big stone.
A big stone. Gigantic stone. Like what?
Cornerstone.
Like a cornerstone or what else? The rock of Gibraltar? The stone that Jerusalem sets upon? That big stone, the Mount of Moriah, that great gigantic stone? That is the word Petra. Okay? Petra. Cephas? Cephas? That is Aramaic. And Petros, that is Greek. It means pebble or stone. Simon, Simeon, that's Hebrew for one who hears. The rock who listens. Okay. Now, was Jesus the rock which Jesus placed his church upon? Did he build his church upon Peter? No. Who did Jesus build his church upon? Thou art Peter, Matthew 16 and 18. But upon this gigantic foundational stone, Petra, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell cannot wrestle her down. Cannot wrestle her down. You are Petros, a little pebble, but upon this gigantic stone. Now, did Peter in his writings say that Jesus was the chief cornerstone? Did he?
Yes.
Yes. All right, he sure did. All right. Now, let's go one more verse, and that's where we're going to go tonight. Kai. Yekabon, ton to Zebulon. Kai Iwane, ton Adelphon to Yekabu. Kai Apel Apethekane. Autois onomata bonerges ho esten wiu bronetes. And James. What's James mean? What is the Hebrew for James?
Jacob.
All right, same name. Okay, Jacobu. Demas, Demetrius. That's all from the same word. Demas, Demetrius, and Jacob are all the same word. Jacob means what? To follow the heel. All right, to follow the heel. Did Jacob follow the heel of his brother? He grabbed the whole of it. Why did Jacob grab the whole of Esau? His heel. Something in that boy knew that he was supposed to be the leader.
Because he was trying to pull him out of the way so he could go first.
He what?
He was trying to pull him out of the way so he could go first.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
To pull him out of the way so he could go first. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. Because he knew he was supposed to be first. But God always has the rejection of the firstborn, don't we? Your first birth, is God reject that first birth? Yes. You must be born again. The first one is disaster. The second one is elation. It is, isn't it? And James, the one of the Zebulons, or Zebedee, that is, Zebedee. Now, he was a husband of Salome. All right. Zebedee. Zebedee means Jehovah is a gift. Jehovah is a gift, Zebedee. Jehovah is a gift. And Iwane, John. John. What's John mean?
Dove.
All right. And what does a dove represent? Gentleness. Be gentle as doves and smart as serpents. The Adelphon. What does Adelphon mean? You remember what Adelphon means there, Brother Russ? Adelphon. How about it, Sharon?
From the same womb.
Adelphos. Delphi is womb. Delphina means womb. The name Delphina. Adelphina. Adelphos means from the same womb. Now, is Jesus' brothers and sisters really his brothers and sisters? What does it say? They were from the same womb. Of the Jacobu of James, all right, and look at this word, epithaken. And what's that new on the end of that thing, Cindy?
Movable
new. In other words, it can be there or not. And then he laid or placed upon. That's what it means. He placed upon them. He placed upon them, to them, dative plural, third person pronoun. Dative masculine plural, third person pronoun, onomati. Names. Names of authority. Bonerges. Bonerges. What in the world does that word bonerges mean, Brother Roger, you know? Sons of great noises. Thunder. When a Jew hears the sky thunder, what does he say? That's the voice of God. And which is sons of Brontes? Brontes. Thunder, thunder, thunder. Zeal, zealous boys, weren't they? Zealous boys. They said call lightning down, didn't they? Call lightning down from heaven. From this word here, you can get hamas, which means cruel, thunder. The word brontosaurus comes from that word there, brontes. Brontosaurus. They think brontosaurus made big sounds. Bonerges. Thayer says it's a thunderstorm. Thunderstorm,
so
on page 104.
Jesus,
what?
Jesus is the one who gave him the name Sons of Thunder.
Yes, sir. Jesus is the one who gave him the
name. They were already called James. And
yeah. Sons of Thunder. These boys are real zealous. Was there one that was a zealot in his group, in his church? All right, Simon. Who else? Judas. They were zealots. What is a zealot? A Sicarii. What is a Sicarii? That's a dagger man. They were assassins. They killed people. That's what they did. They were secret agents that slipped in and killed people. You know, like 007 with a dagger. All right, do you have any questions? Any questions?
I do.
Yes.
When he sent out the 12, I know that Judas betrayed the Lord in the end, but did he partake? Did he cast out demons? Did he have those powers?
He had powers.
Was he
an apostle?
Oh, yeah.
Did he have exousia? Yes. Did he believe in it? He didn't believe in the Son of God, did he?
Not in the end,
he didn't. No, he didn't believe in him. He went through the motions, didn't he? He went through all the motions. He was called him out. He placed him in. And why? Because the Old Testament said that one of his own people would what? Betray him. Judas Iscariot is the only person, the only disciple, Mathetes, that's named in the Old Testament. Did you know that? He's the only one. He's the only one that would strike him. He's the only one that was named in the Old Testament. All right. Anything else? Did you learn a little something tonight?
Amen.
Did you learn that Judas was elected? Why? Because of the foreknowledge of God, God knew what he would do. He knew what he'd do. Why does the Bible say in Malachi 1:1-4 say that Jacob I loved and Esau I hated? Before they ever did anything good or bad, God knew it. And he said it. He stated, why did God damn, curse Canaan and through Noah in the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis? 9th chapter tells you the whole history of the world, doesn't it? The land of Canaan. Is the land of Canaan cursed today? Is it? Oh, boy. You've been there. The land of Canaan. Canaan means what? Possession. Gotten her possession. Cain, that wonderful firstborn of Adam and Eve, Cain, possession. I have gotten Jehovah. A man, even Jehovah, et Jehovah. What was he? He wasn't Jehovah, he's the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. Because he was the epitome of what? He was the epitome of what? All of their sins. He was a murderer and a liar and a thief and a cheat. He was, wasn't he? All right. Anything else? Brother Roger, you look intense. It's good to see you. Pamela, nothing? Evangelina, did you learn something tonight? Did you learn something tonight? Russ, did you learn something? Sharon, did you learn something?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and you're saying that Judas didn't believe in Jesus. It seems to me he believed in him and his power, but he didn't trust God.
He did not.
God's plan. He had his own plan for God.
He had his own plan. He was a thief. He was a arum, as the Hebrew says. Evil.
He wanted God to go to his agenda.
He wanted to use the powers of Jesus to get what he wanted. Did he get it? Yeah, he did it. Who was the treasurer in the first church? Judas was. Did he steal? Jesus said he did. Did Paul say he was a thief? Yeah, he was a thief. How very show what a man is than make him treasure? That's brought it all out, didn't it? Who made him treasure?
Jesus.
Who made him apostle? Jesus. He used what was there, didn't he? He didn't make him that way. But he used him. Because he was that way. And
he
had
the opportunity. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, of all the people in the world, and to actually witness every miracle, every
the baptism of John and everything.
He had everything.
Mm-hmm. Had it all. But what do you do with it?
Sold it.
Now, if you're listening out there someplace in the world tonight and you hear these words that we have here and you're not saved, whose fault is it if you go to hell? Have you called upon Jesus to save your soul, believing Him that He is the Messiah? And Vance Havner once says, if Jesus isn't your Lord, He's not your Lord at all. Either He is your Lord or He isn't.
Amen.
He is or He isn't. Is He your Lord? Is He your Master?
Amen.
Was Jesus Judas' Master? No. Was he Jesus' friend?
Maybe
yes. In the beginning. But what did he become? What was he? It all came out in the end, didn't it?
If he was a Sakari, he could have killed him himself.
He could have. But instead, he sold him.
Right.
He got money out of it. He could have got a lot of money, too, because there was warrants. There was a hit man. There was a contract out on Jesus and Lazarus, wasn't there? Did Judas... Did Judas actually take part of that contract? Yes, he did. Did he deliver him? They gave a reward of money if they could deliver Jesus into their hands. Did Judas deliver him into their hands? Did Jesus surrender himself into their hands? Yeah. Because it said that he would. It's all uncanny, isn't it? It's absolutely... weird. Did Judas know what he was doing at the time?
Yeah.
He so repented and was so sorry for what he did as a human, not repenting of his sins or anything else, that he hung himself. And the Bible said that he hung there so long that he fell down and his guts busted all over the ground.
So when it says he repented, it's obviously not the same.
Not the same repentance. Not the same repentance. Who entered Judas?
Devil.
The devil entered him. Now, did Satan actually enter him, or did Satan's spirit enter him? Satan's spirit entered him and enabled him to do what he did. The spirit of Satan. All right, the spirit of Satan. Remember, demons have power. Demons have power. They do, don't they? All right. Let's go out and do something eternal. Are you finished with me? Zip. All right. Evangelina, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word, Lord, and thank you for Brother Phillips, who helps us to understand and to grasp exactly